League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
They've got something new now. It's called the Press Box.
You're back in the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. Second hour of the show starts right now on the Press Box on ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM as we get to a whole bunch of stuff today. Let's get to some more, Nick, as we got into the fan situation there for a while. And someone said, look, and I love the good texters, okay? Someone texted this. Again, it's one of my peeps. Any human being will want to fight if another person throws popcorn at them. The one saying, oh, it's just popcorn, probably can't fight. There's a genuine possibility in that, too. Because, again, it's a level of respect, disrespect.
No, I mean, I don't mean that anybody that has that opinion can't fight. It just means someone has that opinion. I do look at those situations differently. I look at the popcorn situation different from the spitting situation, different from the water bottle situation. Now, the water bottle situation, I totally agree. The whole eye argument. You know how big I am about that. I've told you about my history with eye surgeries and stuff like that. I'm not a big fan of people doing stuff like that because when you lose your eyesight, you're talking about a significantly drop off in your quality of life. And I don't think that's funny, and I don't think it's something you should do. Popcorn is a little bit different. You know what I mean? Popcorn doesn't really do anything. I don't think you're going to poke anybody's eye out with some popcorn is what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
But you walk in with a hot chick, okay? You sit in front of me. I'm mad at you. Because life is a competition. And in the life of competition at this point, you got the hot chick. So I'm going to retaliate and I'm going to dump popcorn on you.
Sure.
You're not going to be happy.
Oh, yeah. That happens all the time with people. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You're not going to be happy. And look, some people will call, like I told you, I think Texas and some states, they call that simple assault. So, like, it's a serious thing. Some people might be okay with it.
But people won't buy that, right? Because people won't buy simple assault being your fists.
That's true.
You know, a weapon. No. Popcorn's not a weapon. But again, and it's popcorn versus, say, the water bottle. But if the water bottle connects and hits the right area, you don't know the damage it could possibly do. So it sounds far-fetched and almost amusing that someone would say that they were assaulted with popcorn.
Right.
Especially if they didn't have salt on the popcorn, then it's not assault. But at the same time, until the day, again, it's the level of respect to one degree, which is like if I'm walking down the street and I see you doing the same thing, you're walking with your chick or you're walking with someone that I don't like, but I don't know you, and I just throw popcorn on you. Some people would say, well, that's a fighting action. Like, you have opened the door and
to
asked for it.
Absolutely.
To a fight or an assault, verbally or otherwise. And it's your fault.
Yeah, and I think to play devil's advocate, I think the reason why people are knocking on the players is like, look, you're going to the club, you're going to the locker room anyway. How much popcorn actually fell on you? By the time you get angry and go all the way up to the second, third, fourth, 10th, 12th row, you're probably going to be stopped by a few people. This is not going to be like a Meta World Peace situation where you're going to be able to get that high because security has been upped all around.
You bring up a good point, Nick. So instead of the popcorn, what's the difference? If I throw liquid on you, it's not going to hurt you. It's not going to burn you. It's not going to bruise you. So just like everybody says, well, it's just popcorn. Well, now suddenly it's just beer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, yeah. I believe that this could totally evolve and graduate into worse things. And I think that's the reason why the NBA is putting some sort of disclaimer. Even the NBA may not be sure exactly how to minimize these incidents. And I think a part of the reason what propels it, and I am going to put a little, blame game here. Kyrie Irving does not help that situation when you step on the logo. I'm not saying that's the reason why fans are throwing stuff, but when you go and do stuff like that It's going to make people remember, and it's going to encourage them to do things.
But think about it. He played there. You're right, but to a larger degree. He played there.
Sure, but he ain't
there
no more.
Coming back for the first time in the playoffs, then he starts making racial overtones about the fact that the whole city of Boston and all the fan base is racist.
Yeah,
So now they're jacked up about that, too. They're pissed that he left. He did the commercial for Nike where he wanted to play the rest of his career in Boston. All of a sudden, a year later, he wanted out in the worst way, and he got his wish. Then when he leaves, now he's doing the whole incense and trying to erase demons in the corners of the garden.
Yeah.
Now he's taking it to calling the fans racist. There's so much ammunition for why Boston fans hate Kyrie. He didn't have to step on the logo. He's already done enough to where they're never going to love him.
Yeah, but also you think it's just the Boston fans. Like in the event that they advance, and they're probably going, they advance. So when they go and face the next team, what's going to happen? That the other fan base might see that situation and be like, man, why'd you do that? I don't think it's just the Boston fan base that he upset. I think it's the NBA fan base that he upset. And I think it's other markets that he could be potentially going to, facing them on the road, that could be bothered by this situation. That's why it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea to send a message or an indirect message that's unrelated to basketball in the middle of the game, before or after, because it's going to come back and bite you. And in many different ways, maybe from fans, you know you're going to get asked about it following the game. Like, once you did that, Kyrie Irving should have known, you know what? There's going to be about 3 or 4 reporters out there that are going to be bugging you about what you did and why you did it.
Right. But here's the other thing, too. This is the frustration that I have. Some people are saying, you know what? You throw popcorn on me no matter where you are and where I am in life, and I'm throwing hands with you. And that's your prerogative. And I believe that you've been instigated to do such a thing. And then you get someone that says on text line, it means you're not an effing hothead who wants to fight over some stupid-ass popcorn. Take your millions, walk to the locker room, just go be these people are effing idiots and move on. It's not that simple.
A lot of people feel that way, though. A lot of people feel that way.
Because you know what? In your job, respect and disrespect are on every level. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter that your job pays a whole lot more than someone else's job. What it means is it's just common human decency. Great. Like, I'm going to respect you enough as a human being that I'm not going to violate your personal space, that I'm not going to spit on you, throw popcorn on you, throw a water bottle at you, or anything else like it. I'm not going to try and get my 5 minutes of 15 minutes of fame by rushing up to you and tackling you, whatever the case may be. It does take all the variables that really get under people's skin. Is he makes too much money. Guess what? He's better than you at what he does.
Yeah.
That's why he gets it. It's society's fault that we pay athletes way more than teachers. Totally separate issue. What we're talking about here is just violating personal space and the ramifications.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. No, I'm with you. I'm with you in a lot of the things. I'm not okay with the popcorn throwing, but obviously we started up a little bit on the text and on the Twitch. And since we're on the discussion of NBA, and please, we might as well continue it.
Please, go where I think you were going, which is where I wanted to go.
Where did you think? I was going to go Dame.
So was I, because I watched that game last night. Honestly, Nick, when I looked at the schedule before the night started, I was going to watch the Astros because I knew that the Nets were going to beat Boston. And Boston continued to hold guys out. I was looking at the Laker-Phoenix game, Game 5, as the game that everyone was going to get into, and that was going to be the tight game.
For sure.
So I was peeping. And then in the corner of the screen, I'm peeping the score, and the Nuggets get out to a 13-1 lead. And it gets all the way to 26. And I go, well, I'm not watching that.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden I see at halftime, it's a 2-point game. And they're talking about the run Portland went. So I'm like, okay, Astros have it in command. I'm good here. I see that the Suns-Lakers game is 30 or something like that, and there's no way the Lakers are coming back. LeBron's already folded it up.
Yeah, you could tell from the way he was playing.
By the way, Dennis Schroeder is a max player getting you and I had as many points as Dennis Schroeder last night. The only difference is you and I don't want max contracts from the NBA next year.
Yeah.
He does. Not a good look.
No.
So then I start looking at this Portland game. I couldn't turn it off. I wanted to go to bed about 4 times. I'm telling you, everything that every Rocket fan always wanted James Harden to be is what Damon Lillard is. If you are a fan of your team and your leader is Dame Lillard, I don't care if you lost that game last night. You will be a fan of that team for a long time. That dude's got it. Like, I can't believe his shorts fit. He's got cojones that big. Like and his ability to create different shots on his own. The one that he got to set it to overtime was jab step, sidestep. The one that he got to get it to the second overtime was jab, step, pullback.
That's difficult, dude. That's not easy. That is not easy. And he's been practicing that a lot. I remember that's what he's been doing a lot. And he says it a lot for the playoffs, so I guess it makes it even more amazing. But 55 points.
55?
17 of 24 from three-point land. Lillard becomes the first player ever to make 12 threes in a playoff game. I believe there's only five people ahead of him that scored more points in a playoff game, your boy Charles Barkley included, if I'm not mistaken.
I think he had a 60 or something like that against San Antonio or Golden
State. Unbelievable performance, dude. No, just
and again, I hate to bring this up because it's painful for all of us, but the shot he hit against the Rockets, the shot he hit against Westbrook in the Thunder,
Yep. The
shots that he can, and to your point as well, with his trainer, we talk about how innovative Steph has been in terms of changing the game.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about guys like Harden, who I've said this over and over for years and years. He took the rules to the brink and took advantage of them. First, it was the Euro step. Then it was the step back that was basically unstoppable. And everything that he knew was legal under NBA rules, he exploited. It's not a travel, no matter how many people Steve Kerr and otherwise want to call it on him, to use the step back, the sidestep, to do these things. What Lillard did is he took it to another level, literally, by going back towards the logo. So he took a combo of Harden and Steph.
That's insane.
He took Curry's range and took it back to the logo. He took Harden's moves, side, step, step back, and the gathering, getting the extra step out of the way, and just perfected all of it.
Yeah, he's really good. That high-pressure situation that some players live for, not only does he live for it, he converts, man. He converts in those situations. You know, every time he's doing that, he converts. And that's why I always talk about Dame Lillard, and I'm saying it's unfortunate that he's in Portland. And look, I heard great things about the city, and I think the team is great and everything. I love CJ McCollum, but, bro, get your ass out of Portland. Go be a part of a super team, dude.
But CJ McCollum also, you can't step out of bounds in the
biggest
point of the game.
How did he not realize
that's
where he was?
Saying.
He was way far into the court. It's not necessary.
That's a rookie mistake made by your second best player.
Yeah, that was a bad mistake.
Awful.
He must be feeling bad in that locker room. I saw that. I'm like, ooh, bro, you're going to be feeling that in the locker room. That's going to be a situation where like the players kind of want to tell you about it. Like, hey, you idiot, why did you do that? But they're not going to have the heart to do so because they're going to be so nervous to aggravate you. Because you're CJ McCollum? Like, God, that was a dumbass play.
If we don't have the era of Steph Curry, I think we're talking about Dame Lillard as one of the best players in basketball.
Yeah, and you might start looking at him like that three-point shooter that we kind of view him. Probably not as insane. Like, if Steph Curry didn't exist, are you saying Dame is better than Ray Allen?
Oh, yeah.
And three-point shooting,
specifically. Just all around as a player.
Oh, yeah, but 100% better than Ray Allen.
Because here's the thing. People are going to think he's a three-point shooter. He's an extraordinary three-point shooter because of what he does. No, he just makes big shots at big times, right?
Yeah.
So Dick on Twitch, and lives up to his name on this one, says, you know what? What Dame Lillard does is he makes big shots and then the team loses. Well, need I remind you again in this segment, he beat and eliminated the Rockets at the buzzer. He beat and eliminated the Thunder at the buzzer. And also during the series, he did it over and over and over again, making big shots. So I completely disagree with that, and so would statistics and history. What he does is, yeah, he lost last night, but you know what? He doesn't leave his team high and dry like James Harden did. He doesn't disappear.
Disappear late. That's the big difference between him and Harden. But, again, it's not going to be a situation where he'll be able to do it by himself. It's not his fault.
Ray Allen, to your point, Nick, goes down as one of the top three three-point shooters of all time, but not one of the top three greatest players or point guards. Of this generation right now, people are sleeping on Dame Lillard as being one of the top three point guards in the NBA in terms of what he does on a night-by-night basis. Makes big shots, scores a lot of points, dishes out a lot of assists, carries his team.
There's no doubt that he carries his team.
So
there's no doubt.
All right, we'll get to that in a whole lot more as we roll through hour number two, just getting that started. And again, we love your participation. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. Look, I was just talking to Corey yesterday, who's the owner of Fitz Roofing. And he's not only the owner, he's the vice president of the Houston Roofers Association because all the other roofers in the city trust him and they know he's an expert, so they want him representing the entire city when they're doing things for the Roofing Association. He likes to use that to make sure you guys know not just are his technicians certified, but they're experts in what they do. And they have the best ratings in the business, the best products in the business, and the best warranties. So there's no reason to go anywhere else. If you need a roofing job for your business or your home, if you need a roof repair or a complete new roof on either, and or if you need some repairs around the house, a new fence in the yard. They do so much, and all it takes is a phone call to check it out. Because you tell them what you need to have done, chances are they're going to do it for you. And in the process, they're going to come to your house, they're going to check it out all for free, and then they're going to tell you what it's going to cost to get the situation right. It's called a free, no-obligation inspection, and they do it for everybody. All you do is pick up the phone, 832-521-3001, and you'll get the process started. You can also look them up on the online at fitzroofing.com. But I encourage you to call, because you're going to get someone that's going to be concerned about your issues. They're going to book you an appointment. The people are going to come to you and in a non-threatening way tell you what they can do. And then if you choose to go with them, they're going to treat you with kindness and respect while they do phenomenal work, the best in the business, before, during, and after the process. They are great people doing great things. Check them out today. It's the good people at Fitz Roofing making a difference one home at a time.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Well, rolling through round number two, three-hour program. Largo, which, by the way, Jakester, be a boxer so that you can know it's not Largo 011 on Twitch.
I always call him Largo too, though.
I call him. It is Largo. Jake is the one that called him Largo
zero or yeah,
Largo 011. Come on, bro.
I didn't even pay attention to that.
So Largo makes a good point. Robert Covington actually showed up last night.
No, he had what, he had 18, 19 or more.
But okay,
he had a good game.
He did. He had at least 19. But okay, Nick. As much as we just blame CJ McCollum, Robert Covington doesn't have to do the massive hammer down, throw the windmill dunk, and miss it.
Ugh.
If he just puts it through the hoop, we may be talking about a different scenario and a different outcome, because they would have made it a one-point game. Instead, he blows the dunk, Denver goes down and capitalizes, I believe, with free throws, and it changed the complexion of the game. Those two mistakes by veterans can't happen.
No, it can't, and I think one of the things that players do when they know they're on the verge of a big basket, they want to put that exclamation point on it, and the way they do it is try to do something a little fancy. Now, if it bites them in the butt, it could bite them in the butt really, really, really bad. But in this, and I think what happens is if he makes that dunk, not only does he make it and put him in a completely different situation, the momentum could shift in their way. You know what I mean? It could be a confidence killer for the opposing team, but when you take that risk, you got to make sure you got to hit it. If you're going to do a windmill, you better make it. You can't get blocked by the rim or overthrow it and it clanks off the back rim just because you didn't solidify the dunk. You can't do that because it could really, really bite you in the butt. And it happens even worse. It's even a worse look on players that are not like the star player. Like you're just a role player or you're a starter and you're right, not the key player. It's even worse for those.
Now, you know this because you and I have been doing shows for a long time. I've said this over and over again. Lillard can only do so much. At a certain point, it's on the rest of the team. We're talking about two guys that are veterans that made mistakes last night. We're talking about a team that after they beat the Rockets, that team made the Western Conference Finals and lost. Okay, so they made it all the way to a Conference Finals. To reward that team and Damon Lillard, he was the only starter to remain the following year, and all four other guys were let leave or walked or were traded. So as an organization, you can bitch and moan about we're in the Pacific Northwest, no one sees us enough, so Dame doesn't get enough attention, and blah, 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 blah. That's why we don't win. No, the thing is, do the right thing. You have two of the exact same players. One does it better than the other. CJ McCollum, Damon Lillard. I said this for the last couple of years until the Bucks got Holiday. An ideal move for both teams would have been, while Milwaukee still needed a true point, trade McCollum to the Bucks for Chris Middleton. Now, you got a true small forward and another go-to guy for Dame and not a guy trying to play the same position. And Milwaukee gets a guy that can handle the ball and get it out of Giannis's hands, which they eventually, like I said, got in Holiday. There are moves to be made out there, not to take anything away from McCollum, and maybe he becomes better getting out from Dame's shadow. But Dame's got to have more help. You know, you can't just keep relying on the draft and saying this guy might turn out, or a washed-up Carmelo Anthony, or hoping that Robert Covington is the right fit. Daryl Morey should have taught you that's not going to work out.
No, they have to get a third star in the event, and it has to probably be a big, I would imagine, because the tandem is great. CJ McCollum and Dame, that backcourt is fantastic. But if they can get a big guy, I mean, look at the Lakers game with Anthony Davis gone, practically zero rim protection, just a completely different team without him on the floor. And when his presence is there, even if he doesn't stop every offensive play or penetration to the basket, his presence makes a difference. It's a similar situation that I would say about Dwight Howard. His presence in the paint impacts the game.
Look at Philly with and without Embiid. With Embiid, all the way until he got hurt, there was no getting in the middle. There was no getting a rebound. The paint was dominated by Philadelphia. The minute he went out, the light went on, and no-name guys for the Wizards were dunking over people. They were grabbing every rebound. They were having their way inside, and they just it completely changed the complexion of a game. Man. And it could change the series if he doesn't play the rest of the series.
Oh, yeah.
They should still win, but Washington, the light goes on in their head, goes, we got a real chance now.
Yeah, you
got
to attack
the big fella,
because
right.
Gasol is not going to do anything. Gasol's not going to be the guy.
We're talking about for the Lakers, right? But, I mean, and look, Charles was funny last night, but I don't know how many people. I can't question whether a guy's hurt or not. Only they know for sure.
Sure.
But the point that I think Kendrick Perkins made this morning, which is spot on, is they're saying that's a groin. But on the same leg, you've had knee issues, two groin issues, and the Achilles issues that he's been dealing with. So all three different parts of the same leg have been going through stuff all season long. Those normally don't heal till the off season. So to be critical of him in street clothes, was it a game seven? No. Was it do or die? No.
No.
So they decided, hey, let's rest him now with hopes that we'll have him later when we really could need him, whether that be game six and or game seven. But I'm not going to fault the guy. If he says he can't go, only he knows the threshold of pain that he can play with.
Yeah, and that sounds like a lot. I mean, you just mentioned three different issues in his leg. I mean, I don't want an Achilles issue and a groin issue and a knee issue and a hamstring. I don't want that. Like, nobody wants that. And even though they have the best treatment on the planet, I mean, I'm sure they have a great staff, treatment doesn't always work. Why? Because of what you just mentioned. A lot of times that does not heal until the offseason, when you can actually just rest, and get more rest, work out, but you can rest.
Right.
So
that was a great game. Instant classic. Blazers end up losing. Nuggets take a 3-2 lead. Don't think the series is over by any stretch. I just think whether you call them role players
or
the other good players on your rotational players, they got to step up. Because let's be honest. I mean, look, Michael Porter Jr. is coming into his own and showing exactly what people thought he could be.
He can ball, man.
He can play, right? And he made big shots. But you talk about on the flip side of the Blazers for the criticism that we had. Morris was the difference for Denver. Without Jamal Murray, Morris stepped up in a massive way when they needed another guard to do some things last night. He was huge.
Yeah. Hey, and they need that with Murray's absence. God, it would be so much better if Murray could play. God, if he wasn't hurt, that would be so that team would be so much fun to watch.
So that team in Utah, and again, because I never trust Utah in the playoffs, I would never say Utah. That team, and again, we forget that was the team that made the conference finals in the bubble. You put Jamal Murray back on that team with the emergence of Michael Porter Jr. My goodness.
It's a scary team.
It's a very scary team. So, all right, well, that's the 90-minute point in the show. That means first half is gone, second half still to go. Lots more opportunities for you guys to partake, but already great conversation throughout the first hour and a half. We look forward to the second half in just mere minutes right here on the Press Box on ESPN.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Listening to the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, before we get out of basketball, we've had someone texting the show, and we'll get more to this as we get closer to it. Now we know the second round matchup, but everybody asking, or at least multiple people asking us, Nicholas, for our Bucks-Nets prediction. You know it is my hometown team. You also know that I have not been bullish on the Bucks.
You have not.
I have said that that window that they thought was going to be open for a while, though I like the moves that they made to get Holiday and strengthen their team. This is a better Bucks team than the last two, the teams of the last 2 years that had the best record in basketball as a playoff team. They might not have been a better regular season team. They're a better playoff team. Losing DiVincenzo, it's okay. They still have depth. But they don't, and these are the top two scoring teams in the NBA. I give the edge to the Nets, no matter what happened in the regular season, because now it's winning time. And if I told you, Nick, just straight out, I'm going to take all the other side pieces and role players out of it. Who would you put your money on if you had to take your life savings and say, I need you to put it all on either Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, and Giannis Antetokounmpo, or I need you to put it on Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving? Because to me, it's that simple. And then when you add, and I heard Charlie say this, but when you add some of the role players on the Brooklyn side, they're, yeah, Pat Connaughton's nice. Yeah, there's some guys that have had a really good year for the Bucks. They're not Blake Griffin. They're not the kind of guys of the caliber. Even Brown has been a massive contributor for the Nets. I think the Nets are going to win a very hotly contested tight series in 6 or 7. That's just me thinking logically.
Okay. I think 6 is fair. I think the Bucks have what it takes. And I've been a guy that hasn't been incredibly high on Middleton. Maybe I haven't been hypercritical. I just said he's not a max player, but I think he has improved from last year. I think it's very safe to that. I love Drew Holiday, but the Nets, like when you talk about outside that big three, Joel, you didn't even mention Joe Harris, and I know you know who he is.
I said Joe.
Okay. Yeah. That guy can shoot his ass off. I mean, that guy alone. I mean, to me, if they lose Joe Harris, God forbid, not wishing that on anybody, that hurts him so much. Just because of his shooting percentage and the way he's so confident behind the three-point line. Yeah, I'm taking the Nets. I'm taking the Nets in 6 games. I would say I'm not surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if it is in 5, but I just don't think that's going to happen. I don't think the Bucks is going to let that happen.
And here's the thing. Largo says Blake Griffin is a liability. No, he was a liability in Detroit. Let me remind some people of some things. The great Dick Willie, Charlie Polillo, was the one that said Blake Griffin couldn't jump anymore, couldn't dunk anymore, couldn't do a lot of things anymore. You know what he's done since he's become a member of the Nets? A really solid role player who dunks and jumps and rebounds and defends against some people and gives you quality minutes.
Yeah.
That's all they needed him to do, because he doesn't have to do what he did with the Clippers, because you have the three guys we started the convo with. If I'm looking for a guy to make a big, put it a different way, Nick, if I say of the 3-on-3, and again, you're right, because Joe Harris is a massive factor. Pat Connaughton isn't that guy. Milwaukee doesn't have that same guy. But if I said of the 3-on-3, who's going to outscore? Who's going to score more points in the series? I'm still leaning to the Nets.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You got James Harden playing his ass off. Kyrie's playing his ass off. Kevin Durant could shoot basically over anybody. And look, going back to the Blake Griffin situation, I think there's a big confusion sometimes, Joel, mm-hmm. with role players being a liability. Just because you're not on the floor all the time getting all those reps and scoring doesn't necessarily mean you're a liability. And I think that's the big confusion. Is some people think, well, he has a small role. Yeah, he has a small role because he's clearly not the same player that he used to be. That we can say. Am I going to go as far as saying that he can't dunk? Probably not, because he's dunked.
He's been hammering on people for the last month and a half with the Nets.
It doesn't really matter. That's a non-point now.
If you play with the Pistons, you don't care either. Because you suck every night. You have no chance to win.
Yeah.
You suddenly get with a team where you can win a title, and if you show that you still got something left in the tank, you're going to play.
Yeah.
Guess what? Things change. Okay, same question. 3-on-3, who are you putting your stock in to hit the game winner? The 3 in Milwaukee?
The 3 in the Nets, for sure.
The first problem I got is, of the 3 in Milwaukee, the guy I'm putting the most odds on to make the shot is not your best player.
He's not clutch.
It's not Giannis. It's Middleton. If I look at the Nets, I'm putting my money on KD, then Kyrie, then James.
Harden.
And that's not a knock on James, but the other two have done it on the biggest stages, with the most on the line.
Oh, no doubt. Especially KD. I want KD to have the ball. Now, look, if it's a really, really tight situation with a very limited shot clock left in regulation, maybe sometimes it would be better to use KD as a decoy. But in some cases, if you can get that ball perfectly passed to him in the right spot, it doesn't matter if his defender's right there in front of him. He can just easily shoot over it. So if it's a situation where they need 3 points, he can tie it. If it's a situation where they're down two, he can end up winning the game in a very clutch shot. That's an easier shot to take, I think, if you're KD. But the problem becomes on defense is in the event that they know that KD is going to be the option. But the advantage that the Nets have is look, maybe we're going to Kyrie. Maybe we're going to James. Maybe we're going to KD. Guess what? Maybe we're going to Joe Harris. Maybe we're going to a role player to hit a really, really big shot. That's the advantage that the Nets have is they're able to pick so many different options with shooters.
So Largo says you guys know defense is a thing too. Right, and here's the other thing. The other thing is the depth, as good of a team as Milwaukee is and how they've gotten deeper. When I look at the two rosters, Bobby Portis is a big man that wants to shoot threes, and he's good at it, but he's not going to help you up front. Brook Lopez can be exposed because he's slow, okay? When I look at what Brooklyn can do defensively now, too, you're not going to – KD is one of the better defenders in this league. He doesn't get enough credit for it because of his offense, but he has length. He can guard threes. He can guard smaller because of his length, and he can block shots because of his height, okay? Kyrie's going to get you some steals. Harden, I'm taking out of the equation. But now, when you say, well, Blake Griffin could be a liability, well, guess what? Jeff Green's waiting in the wings. And when Jeff Green comes back, Jeff Green's going to focus on the other end. Yeah. So you can just go offense, defense, substitutions. But because I can go up and down this list, and I can tell you, well, if I need shooters, I got Joe Harris, I got Landry Shamet, I've got other guys. If I need defense, I've got Brown, I've got, TLC is what they call him, but Cabarro. I've got guys that I can put in there, Claxton, that are just going to be defenders. Bruce Brown is a phenomenal defender as a young player at multiple positions.
Yeah, I think they have enough defense to win.
I do too, and that's the key, Nick. When you score as much as they do,
you don't have to have the best defense.
Just get some stops.
Yeah, you don't have to have elite defense.
Great point.
I don't think defense is a concern unless it's so significantly bad. Now, when you look at James Harden by himself, all right, maybe someone would make the argument that his defense is significantly bad. But when you put James Harden on a team like that, now the defense doesn't look the same. You know what I mean? It doesn't look as bad. So I don't know. I don't think the defense is the issue. Can they become better defenders? Absolutely. Absolutely.
But again,
you're dropping 120, 130 points a game on these people.
So unless Milwaukee changes what they've done too, you know what? Defense is made a lot easier by Budenholzer. Because I don't care how they defend any other team in the league. When they play Milwaukee, who they play in the next round, and you can still build a wall and stop the Bucks. All you got to do is clog the middle because Giannis is going to hog the ball. Unless Holiday and or Middleton become the number one primary ball handler for the Bucks. The defense is still there that in the regular season teams don't use because they got a lot of things they're playing night after night. When you're playing in a series against Milwaukee, until Milwaukee proves that the wall doesn't work anymore, bringing three guys up right across the free throw line and saying, Giannis, you're not going to get deep penetration to use your length and your strength. Either you're going to beat us with a shot or you're going to have to give it up, which he doesn't want to do. I'm not sold on the Bucks.
No, I'm not. I think six is a fair pick. And look, I wasn't as high on them because even though I was pooping all over Jimmy Butler last season, I still recognized his skill set. But he just didn't have enough around him this year. But the Bucks, I mean, they probably played better than I thought, but they're not going to be able to beat this Nets team.
Was I the only one that took Milwaukee over the Heat?
Correct. Sure. And R2? Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I picked Heat. You picked the Bucks. Okay. Correct. Yes.
So tonight, Washington, Philly. I get, you know, look, it's at Philly. I give Washington a shot without Embiid just because they can actually get some paint points.
Man, do you think this dude's going to play again this season?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
In the postseason?
I think they know this series is, this is a Daryl move too, because this at least builds in an excuse so that he doesn't take all the heat and doesn't get all the pressure if they fall short. Because this team should not only beat the Wizards at some point in this series. They play the winner of the Hawks and the Knicks. Though that's an exciting series. They should beat either team, and they should be in the Eastern Conference Finals. Now you're going to need him. And if he falls short, you can say he was hurt. And so it's a built-in excuse. Other than that, I think he's going to play. Because when I saw him land, he didn't land and hurt his knee. He hurt his back and his butt.
So but you don't think it's as bad as it?
I really don't. I really don't. Yeah. So tonight's matchups, Washington, Philly, and Philly. Chance to close it out for the Sixers. Atlanta, New York. Atlanta up 3-1, trying to close it out at the Garden. That should be a fun one. Memphis, Utah. Utah at home, trying to close out the Grizzlies. By the way, nice move by the owner of the Jazz, giving Ja Morant's parents free tickets tonight to kind of try and make up for the unruly and very rude fans of Salt Lake City. And then the big one tonight, Dallas at the Clippers, tied at 2. That should be a fun one as well. That's your NBA lineup. Now, Nick, when we come back, oh, what it would be like if you were in eighth grade and you were 6'5", 265. I'll tell you a little bit about that when we come back after the break. Second hour rolls on. It's the Press Box ESPN.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back on The Box, wrapping up hour number 2, 3-hour program. This is just amazing to me. Like, if you're a parent and you kind of, as your kid's growing up, you go, you know what? He's going to be tall for his age. Like I told you, Taylor's in the 99th percentile for height.
Oh, okay.
As she was from birth to where she's at now. She's even after dance recital last night, she goes, Daddy, I'm this tall, much taller than everyone else in my dance. I go, yeah, babe, I know. I see it. She's like, but we're all the same age. I go, you're tall. That's a good thing.
You're a taller. Yeah. Yeah.
But if you know that in eighth grade, your kid is 6'5". 265. Now, I'm not talking about Burger King 265.
No.
I'm talking about rocked up, strong, chiseled, 6'5", 265. He goes by the name of Justice Terry. He lives in Georgia. He's prepping for the ninth grade. He is a beast.
6'5". Like, I feel so bad for anybody, any opposing team going up against Manchester High School, a ninth grade basketball team. Now, I would imagine he would just be on varsity. Let's say he's playing basketball. I don't know what he's playing. Or
he's a football player.
Okay, so he's doing. I imagine he's playing varsity every year, right?
In everything. I throw this kid out there no matter what he wants to play. So I looked at his Twitter account.
Yeah,
and he's posting workouts. And he's a defensive lineman. And his pass rush.
He looks like a grown-ass man.
And his quickness. And someone said it's the combination of like Zion and LeBron only playing football. It's not far off, only this guy's more chiseled up than Zion.
Yeah, I think this guy's stronger than Zion, or at least he will be at the very minimum. He's definitely going to, and he looks like he's going to be faster than Zion as well.
So he's put his workouts out there and then showed him doing some drills as well.
There's this kid trying to play defense as he's trying to catch the ball. He barely has to nudge him to move his ass out of the way. Like he just, boom. Like
the thing to me is, if you're the parents, you got to believe that Saban and like, there was a kid here locally at one of the private high schools that ended up, I want to say, either going to Alabama. He was an offensive lineman. But he was kind of like this for a majority of his career. And he had an offer before he was, I think, even a junior. He had offers all over the place. If this kid gets the right offer, I'm not sure that I risk him being out there with high school kids where he could get hurt, knowing that this kid's got a future. High school means nothing.
Yeah.
They've seen enough to know he's going to do some damage in high school, but he's probably going to do a whole lot more damage on the next two levels. I don't want to risk him getting hurt if he's got the right scholarship opportunity. Because this
thing,
dude's unbelievable.
Well, that's the thing about being this, like I guess, grown at this age, is now everybody sees it. Everybody wants to be the influencer. Everybody wants to be the guy that manages him. I don't know if his parents are heavily involved. Hopefully they are, but that's that. You're right. It could be a situation where he might get the wrong advice, and you don't want to risk him getting hurt. That's the last thing you need. The guy just looks like he's falsified a birth certificate.
He really does. So Chad Simmons has a blue check mark. Chad Simmons happens to be a guy that all he does is analyze high school kids and where they're getting their full rides from. And he said, and he tweets out, I don't stop at middle schools too often, but when you have an eighth grader at 6'5", 240 at the time, now he's 265, and people are all over raving about his attitude and his ability, I had to make the stop in Manchester, Georgia. You'll be hearing a lot about Justice Terry, a 2025 defensive lineman in the near future. As soon as the ink dries on his letter of intent, I'm holding this kid out.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't want to get this guy hurt, too. I mean, he's going to get enough reps and enough workouts and training facilities. People are going to offer him all kinds of things. This kid could be making money before he even gets to college. You know what I mean?
Hearing footsteps. Can you imagine being a high school quarterback and knowing this kid's coming from your blind side?
Oh, yeah. I'm not. See, that's the thing. I'd be terrified to go up against someone like that, dude. This reminds me. See, this kind of reminds me of, I remember when I was having basketball tryouts in middle school, and the coach was like, well, train with Jared. I'm like, Jared's going to get on the team because he's tall. And Jared had like just shot a free throw in one of the drills, and it like bounced off the backboard and it didn't even touch the rim. I'm like, Jared is the worst person on the team. He's going to make it because he's tall. It's not the case with this guy. This guy is actually tall and fit and in shape and fast and strong.
Like,
when he realizes how good he is, he's going to be unstoppable.
That's the thing. I mean, there's something more to it when you hear coaches and scouts say, you can't teach height or size, right? And in this, I always go back to DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan from Houston. DeAndre Jordan was mentored by Byron Smith, who's now the coach at Prairie View. Byron and I played basketball against each other and with each other for a long, long period of time. He ended up being the assistant coach at A&M because he was mentoring DeAndre and got DeAndre to go there.
Wow.
DeAndre could not bench press 12-pound weights when he was at the Met when he was in high school, but everybody wanted him because you can't teach the fact that he was almost 7 foot already, and you could tell he may even grow some more. You can get a kid to lift weights.
Oh, you
can teach a kid to take care of himself. Now, in the case of Hashim Thabeet, he may not be able to put on the weight you're looking for.
Right.
But at the same time, you know that there's enough there that I'm off.
He doesn't. You don't have that problem with him. He's going to the gym. I mean, he's working out. Like you don't got that issue with him.
So college. My point being, college coaches have offered more to kids that have a lot less, just because they're tall, or maybe some guys are big. But this kid's got it all already, and looks like a grown ass man in eighth grade.
And his name is Justice, which is kind of cool.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool.
So good things ahead for that kid. We're going to keep an eye on him too, because that's just an unbelievable story. I don't want to block him. I don't want to be the quarterback running from him.
No, no.
And I certainly don't want to be the running back out of the backfield that didn't see him coming.
Like 265 pounds, the UFC heavyweight division maxes out at 265 pounds.
That's true?
100%. If you are a guy that's 280 pounds, you have to cut weight to, and you're a heavyweight, you have to cut weight to 265 if you want to make heavyweight. This guy is already a UFC heavyweight.
Now, keep in mind, when Zion was coming out, and I used this stat when we were talking about him. Before he left Duke, he was 280 pounds. At that time, there was only one or two players in the entire NBA that weighed as much or more than Zion Williamson. And he could fly.
Right.
That's basketball.
Yeah.
This guy at 6'5", 265, and then when you watch his drills and knows he's got agility and he's got quickness and the things that he does, that's special talent.
You know what
right
I think
there.
Could happen with him? Like one negative is that he hits the gym too much to the point where he gets too strong. You know what I mean? Because you don't want to be like too muscular where you can't get enough oxygen to your muscles because that kind of makes you tired. That's something he would have to carry. You know, how lean and how big does he really want to be? Those are the type of things that's going to be his problem with his workouts. You know what I mean? Which are not bad problems. But
one of my good friends, was one of the trainers for the Oilers when the Oilers were really, really good. And his name's escaping me now. But they had a linebacker that he told me literally from just a medical perspective. Lamar Lathan.
Okay.
Lamar Lathan, he told me he was just chiseled. And he was the epitome of athleticism and strength and everything like that. He told me literally the problem. I said, what's the medical? What medically is holding this guy back? He goes, Joel, his skeleton isn't strong enough to hold and durability-wise, be able to maintain itself with all that muscle. This dude is just a physical specimen that no one's seen before.
So basically, he was working out too much, is what you're saying.
For however he got to wherever he got in terms of the amount of muscle that he had on his frame, his skeleton couldn't physically handle it.
Yeah. No, and you know who, I think another person, another MMA commentator that made that comment was a former WWE or WWF guy by the name of Bobby Lashley, and then he went to the Bellator Fighting Championships, and if you look at him, like, he's just like, he's got muscle in his eyebrows. I mean, he's got like 3% Seriously. Body fat. You know what I mean? Like, it's unbelievable how muscular this dude is. And they were saying that was the argument. That was the problem. I just think he was older and he started the MMA late. I mean, God bless him. The guy was able to have several wins at a very late age. But I just think, yeah, it might have been him being so muscular, but also it might have to do with his age and him starting the game late. But, yeah, this Justice kid is going to be – and he's on Twitter and he's already posting videos. So, you know, everybody's going to be checking him out. So
it's just amazing.
Good for you, that'll Justice.
Be,
yeah,
it'll be fun to follow because –
And you know what? What if he doesn't play football? What if he changes his mind?
Oh, he's got to.
You think so?
Stop it. He has to.
What if he? You don't think he might want to play baseball or basketball or anything else?
Look, I'm confident in saying he's going to get a scholarship no matter what he chooses to do.
Right.
But you have to realize, unless like you said, I haven't seen him play basketball. If he can play equally as well, be equally as dominant, and he can jump and translate the agility, football agility, to basketball, then you might have a situation where you got a guy that could be.
Could you imagine if he's playing back? All you do is just give him the ball and let him dunk. You don't have to. There's no game plan. What's the play, coach? Nothing. You dunk. That's it.
Tony Gonzalez was All-American tight end and also was the starting center on the Cal basketball team. And Pat Riley, with the Heat, gave him a tryout a couple years, let him play summer league because they thought he could play on the next level. So it's not unheard of. We talked about two sports stars like Frank Thomas and Bo Jackson at Auburn, but that was baseball, football, and track. That wasn't basketball. But nonetheless, I mean, you got the athleticism, you got the athleticism. So. All right, that's hour number two in the books. Still got an hour left to go. 60 minutes on the clock. When we come back, should have a whole lot more fun and entertainment, stories and sports, and a whole lot more. So stay right where you are, right here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.